It's taken from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 to 16, which can be found on page 358 of the church Bibles. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And the gospel reading is in Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 11. And if you have a Bible in the church here, it's page 1035. Luke chapter 7. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and as his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he appeared the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the bier, and those carrying it stood still. Jesus said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe, and they praised God. "A great prophet has appeared amongst us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Do sit down. Give me a bit of space. Thank you. Not a very nice man. Ahab did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than did all the kings of Israel before him. Problem compounded. He married Jezebel, daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. And Jezebel had a little hobby. Jezebel was killing off the Lord's prophets. A pretty grim start for Elijah. Elijah, the name means "my God." Jehovah is he. And he gets a billing in the New Testament. James writes, Elijah was a human being, an ordinary person. That meant, even as we are, And so we've got the mighty King Ahab married to a rather unpleasant lady, Ahab still having a sort of leaning towards worshipping Jehovah, but being very influenced by Jezebel and therefore giving a lot of time and effort to worshipping Baal. A powerful, nasty man. Elijah was an ordinary person just like us. And incredibly bravely, Elijah went to the mighty Ahab and said, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there'll be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." You've got a problem coming up, Ahab. Your country is going to have a severe drought. What was Elijah's advice to do next? I went to the message for this because they always put it nicely. God then told Elijah, "Get out of here and fast. Head east and hide out at the Kerith Ravine on the other side of the Jordan River. You can drink fresh water from the brook. I've ordered the ravens to feed you." So having delivered the message to Ahab, he got out fast and went and hid near this brook where he would get a supply of water. And extraordinarily, ravens would feed him, and ravens are probably the most notorious of scavengers who will eat anything in sight. But in this particular case, the ravens came to feed Elijah. After a couple of years, the brook dried up. The word of the Lord came again, and we're going to look at this later, to Elijah and said, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've instructed a widow there to supply you with food." Initially, ravens, most unlikely, most unusual. And now, a widow who we discover in a moment was destitute. And God said, "She's going to feed you. Don't worry, that's the place to go." Why Sidon? It's an interesting place. It was where Jezebel came from. We saw in that verse earlier on. She was the daughter of the king in Sidon. It was just over the border from Israel. It was in Gentile territory. So Elijah was probably the first prophet to go to the Gentiles. And fascinatingly, I'd never realized this till I saw it in a commentary when I was preparing for this morning. Jesus edged into Sidon. We find in Matthew 15. It was his one trip into Gentile territory. So, interesting place, Sidon, and the place that God told Elijah to go to. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" She was going to get it. He called, "Oh, by the way, bring me, please, a piece of bread." A destitute widow. She says, I just have nothing. And Elijah says, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour you have will not be used up. You can afford to give me a biscuit or some bread. The jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." She obeyed. Destitute widow, about to have her last meal with her son before they died, she went right off and did just what she was told. And it turned out, as she said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out, the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the exact letter, just as Elijah had delivered it. It's the most remarkable miracle. And it's one of those stories that's come right through all these thousands of years, isn't it? It's one that now is a favourite in Sunday schools and so on, the widow of Zarephath. I want to earth it, because a few thousand years later, if we're not very careful, it does become just a nice Sunday school story. And we listen and say, yes, we've heard that story before, and it was great. But where do I fit into this? Do miracles happen today? And there's a risk that we, well, yes, possibly, but not really. Well, Just a simple illustration, and I certainly haven't seen many miracles in my life, but I've seen them. And one day-to-day one that happened a few years back, a colleague of mine needed a sum of money for a particular project and prayed about it and was convinced that that project was right and the money would come. And it had to come by a certain date. And by the evening of that date, he was £173 short of the sum needed. And pleaded with God, went to bed and wondered what on earth was going to happen. The next morning, the postman came bright and early. You've probably guessed what's coming. A local church had had a garden fete, divided the proceeds in four or five different ways, and he was one of them. And a quarter or a fifth of whatever the garden party produced came to £173. Miracle? One could say, oh, it's no miracle, it was coincidence. Well, sure, if you want to call it a coincidence, call it a coincidence. To me, it was a clear illustration of God providing. God provided here through ravens. God provided here through the destitute widow. God provides. We'll come on to that. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Elijah in verse 2. The word of the Lord came again to Elijah in verse 8. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says in verse 14. The word of the Lord. Does that happen today? Are you conscious of hearing the word of the Lord? And there's a danger again. We put it into Old Testament terms and say, well, it happened then. There was voices came from heaven and angels appeared. Well, that was great, and it's great for the Sunday school, but it doesn't happen today. The Lord appears through people. Last Sunday evening, we were looking at the story of Hagar, Abraham, slave girl, his wife's slave girl, and the child that was born to her, Ishmael. She was dying in the desert. And what happened? The Bible says an angel appeared. The angel appeared as an individual, as a man. And I'd like to suggest to us today that God appears, that the word of the Lord comes to us, comes to me through people. Here in the year 2013, God speaks to me through people, and it's happened all my life. And I'm conscious that sometimes as you sit and talk with somebody, what they say changes your direction. The word of the Lord comes through people, and we're aiming later on this year, I hope, in this church to have a mentoring situation. Not in terms of mentoring of lifestyle type thing that one talks about, but mentoring specifically as Christians, to be able to sit and talk with somebody about the development of our Christian faith. The word of the Lord comes through people. The word of the Lord comes through the Bible. Have you ever found, in the way certainly I have, I read a passage and I'm almost dozing through it because I've read it so often before, and suddenly you stop to, just a minute, and you read that sentence again. Has that sentence always been there? I've never noticed it before. And something that is relevant to you appears from God's word. The word of the Lord, it comes in the year 2013 through reading the Bible. I don't find that every day as I read the Bible that specific words hit me. It doesn't happen like that for me, maybe for some. But periodically, as I'm reading, suddenly something, well, we talk about words leaping off the page. The word of God. The word of God comes to us through our conscience. Vanessa's sitting over there in our little house group. 10 days ago, we were talking about this, and she said, God speaks to me through my conscience. Isn't that true? We have our conscience pricked and prodded. Something comes into our mind. And in my case, I'm always clear when it's something I believe is the word of God, because it won't go away. The word of the Lord speaks in 2013 through our conscience. And for numbers of people, and we hear this in our church here at St Paul's, God speaks through pictures coming into our mind. I'm an accountant, and we don't have terribly artistic views on life. I must tell you now, I've never had a picture come into my mind. And I apologise to some, and somebody like Fiona, who's got that flair, and God speaks through pictures, and she will periodically come and say, during the service this morning, something has come out, a picture, and it's a picture of a waterfall or whatever it may be. The word of the Lord in 2013 speaks. Different to the way it used to be, but God speaks. Don't let's write this off as an Old Testament miracle. Daily provision. Interesting, wasn't it? Children of Israel, do you remember traipsing through the desert? That desperate, desperate, desperate desert. How anyone survives for a day, let alone months and years, I'll never know. And God provided manna every morning. 6 days a week came manna. And on the sixth day, a double portion to provide for the Sabbath. And it only lasted a day. It had gone off by the next morning. And back came the manna the next day. Elijah at the brook, ravens, morning and evening, brought food to him. Zarephath, destitute widow, about to have her last meal before she died, supplied him and her family for the next 12 or 18 months. That drought was 3.5 years that Ahab had to put up with, and pursued Elijah for the 3.5 years as well. And that's why he was wise to be over the border and in Sidon. She provided day by day what needed for Elijah. Can I suggest in the year 2013, God provides. We're great on savings. I, as an accountant, thinking very carefully through my life, I have savings. I'm delighted that I put money into a pension fund. Though there are numbers that say, why do you do that? God will supply, God will provide. I believe God provides through an insurance company in this situation, as I believe God supplies my medical needs through a great doctor, and he looks at a thing on my hand and said, we're in the hospital, Lord, have a look at that. And the chap in the hospital said, oh, don't like the look of that, we'll take that out. I don't say God will provide, miraculously it'll disappear. I say, thank you, Lord, for supplying doctors, for supplying medical facilities. What I'm saying is God provides as we need, day by day. He talked in Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. God supplies the birds of the air, the lilies of the field, the feeding of the 5,000. A few baskets of fish, a few baskets of bread. Pass it round and keep passing it and keep passing. And still, there's bread and fish left. God, I believe, in 2013, supplies my needs, our needs, on a daily basis. God is there, and I'm conscious of that. I'm conscious of that. And this wonderful verse in John chapter 7, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. That's the most wonderful illustration. Rivers of living water will flow from them. Don't let's kid ourselves. God provides. God gives us day by day our provision. And finally, God deals with the weak. He went to the widow in Zarephath, the last person you could imagine. The right-hand man of King Ahab was, in fact, a worshipper of Jehovah. Mighty, mighty man. And so easily Elijah could have gone to him, but he didn't. God said, go to this helpless, destitute widow. God deals with the weak. Paul's writing to Corinthians, where's the wise person? Where's the teacher of the law? Where's the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? God constantly deals through the weak. And it's the most wonderful illustration, and it is true in our world today. It's true in our world today. It isn't the mighty men and women at the top. God deals through ordinary people. Elijah was an ordinary person, said James. And God deals with ordinary people. Us, the weak people, God deals with and God works through. Let's remember most of all today that what happened to Elijah thousands of years ago isn't just a Bible story for the kids. It's of relevance in the year 2013. Things are different, but the truth is exactly the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you provide for our needs. Thank you that you work through the weak and not just the mighty. And thank you that you speak to us day by day. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You know, sometimes we don't think we've got anything to offer, and we think we're too little and too, we're not people of influence. We don't have anything that we can give. We may be ordinary people, but we have an extraordinary God. And the point is, we work in partnership. So we add in the little bit that we can do to the unbelievable power and influence and generosity of God. And what we can offer can become amazing, because it's not about us, it's about him. We are so amazingly blessed to serve and to follow our extraordinary God.